To buy or not to buy? That is the question. So should you be looking for a home now or should you be waiting? What are the mortgage rates going to do? What is happening to our economy? Find out what the experts say today on Indy's Real Estate Gurus.
Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritmus NMLS number 664589. Ian Arnold NMLS number is 1995469. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome and thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it very much. This is Indy's Real Estate Gurus, and I'm Rick Rickma, your hard-working mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And again, we do appreciate you joining us. Today we're going to talk about whether it does it make sense to buy now or buy later. We want to talk about just a variety of things. Where are mortgage rates going to go? You know, what's happening in our economy? Find out what the experts have to say. We're going to talk about that. And first, we're going to start with our numbers.
Yep.
Because I think this is important, and it's actually, it's an interesting time right now. The jobless claims. You know, one of the things that people don't understand, especially the media doesn't understand, is what all these economic numbers actually mean. I've heard it said, I think it was the governor of New York or somebody, I can't remember, who said, well, how can we have a recession or going into a recession? Look at our jobless claims. Look at our, what's going on there. What he doesn't understand, or anybody who says that doesn't understand, is that the jobless claims, the recession starts after jobs hit the bottom for the lowest level, good, and then turn the other way. And that's just another indicator that we're going into a recession along with all the other indicators we're seeing. So jobless claims were up this week. The 4-week average was 241,000 this week. We were at 251,000. Last week, we were in 246 or something like that. I can't remember the exact number. But that's increased. The continuing claims has also increased. It's at 1.384 million. And it was quite a bit less than that. It was 1.35 or something like that. I just can't remember. Don't remember the exact number. The other part of this, of the unemployment situation as we look at it, there's something called a household survey. And when they put out these numbers, there's two ways that they get these numbers. They look at what these respondents say, and then they actually talk to people. And it's called the household survey. And the household survey actually showed that we had a 350,000 increase in loss of jobs. However, we had 353,000 people who left the labor force.
And for people who don't realize what that means, is that means after a month of you stop working, you have not applied for another job.
Right.
So if... and this is what we saw through the recession. I mean, I just saw it. What happened is I met my in-laws halfway between us, which is Kokomo. Well, we went to go to Pizza Hut. We were like, go sit down, Pizza Hut. We'll order a couple pizzas and visit for a little bit. We walked to the first door, sign on the door. Only drive through and carry out. Not enough help. Are you kidding me? You're Pizza Hut. Luckily, there was another one, and they opened up. But you know how many people we saw? The lady who helped us was actually making pizzas. But she did the smart thing, because people want to sit. Just say, hey, look, we're shorthanded. We'll be with you. Just keep in mind that. If you have questions, let us know. And it made it easy. But you could tell how shortage it is. I mean, you talked about yesterday or last week about you walked into Best Buy and could not get help. I mean... So when you're looking at the job claims, it's not just to look at that, but that's the one number they don't bring up, is how many job vacancies there are still out there. and everything like that. They like to say, oh, yeah, but that, again, only includes the last month as long as you're applying for jobs in a month.
Yeah, it's crazy, and that's why these numbers, I believe that the numbers are even worse.
Oh, easily.
And I know that we're seeing less and less companies looking to hire people. There's more and more layoffs that are starting to happen. So it is going to get tighter, and maybe that will actually help the restaurants and things like that. People will lose their jobs in other types of industries, and they can still get jobs in the restaurant. I don't know. I don't know where it's going, but I can tell you that it is certainly an indicator that we're going into a recession, along with a wide variety of other pieces. When the federal fund rate goes up, when we see the inflation where it's at, all these numbers we're seeing, they're all indicating inflation. But how is that affecting our homes, our home values? Yeah, this is one of the hardest ones, or actually, it's, I don't know if it's the hardest one. It's just there's so much information out there that seems to be contradictory to what the numbers actually show. So let's talk about, and this is the U.S. So the existing home sales in June 2022, we were down 5.4% month over month. And we their annual pace, we had 5.21 million homes annual pace for sales. Year over year, that's down 14.2%. But remember, last year, what was going on last year?
I mean, most places, one, you had the interest rates that were super low. So that helped out dramatically.
Yeah, and we had, the year before, we had where nobody was buying anything. Mm-hmm. Their houses weren't on the market. You couldn't even go look at them, all that. Yeah, so there's very slow.
Yeah, everybody was scared. Nobody wanted you in their house.
Right, it's all the pent-up demand. So last year was a huge year.
Yes.
Right? So we're still very busy. Medium home prices still up. It was up year over year, 13%. To 415,000. That's nationwide. First time home buyers represented 30% of the home buyers. Okay, they were 31% last year, so almost identical, and they were only 27% last month. So first time home buyers are out in force, mm-hmm. which was a worry because prices were going up, but
Correct.
It doesn't seem to be affecting that.
No, I mean, income has gone up.
Right.
I mean, that's that, like we talked about before, but income has offset that because you're having to pay employees more to offset some of that stuff. So guess what? It's not really going to affect too much.
Yep. And this is one I don't like. Cash buyers are up 25%. They were at 23% last year. Well, you know, I mean, cash buyers are great. And a lot of times I'll buy with cash and then they'll refinance and get some of their money back. And the investors, another one investors are up 16%, up from 14 last year. So they're up also. So there's more investors buying.
The cash buyers doesn't still shock me too much because people still living at home and are working from home. The investors ones, that's the one that shocks me a little bit more. I understood when the rates were super low, but now the rates have gotten quite a bit higher than what they were. So the investor one does shock me a little bit more.
You know, though, the rents are up so much. If you look at what rents are doing, I don't think I brought the material on that, but I was one of the people that I listened to was talking about the rents and how even with the increase in mortgage rates, even with the increase in the value of properties, rents are going up faster than that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, but again, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but that's what they were showing. It was pretty incredible. Now let's talk about the inventory of existing homes. Inventory 1.26 million. That's up from 2.4. That's up 2.4% from last year. It's up 10% from last month. Okay, so what does that mean? That means that our inventory supply is up. We have 3 months supply. Our normal market would be 6 months. And 14 days on the market, it was a record low. But let's go back to the home. Every year at this time, we see an increase in inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. If you look, we're looking at a chart, and you can see every year, same time, the market turns. The media is not talking about that. This is a normal situation. Over the last 10 years on the chart I'm looking at, every year it happened. Every single year. So it is what happens. Why? Because people wanting to get their kids in school, so they put their houses on the market in time to sell them and be in the next home that they want to be in before school starts.
Yep, so you can get those kids enrolled. You know where they're going. They know where their friends are, that type of stuff. So.
Yes, and then if you also look at those numbers, so we're talking about the existing homes, there was a on the initial homes, and I don't have the number in front of me. I think it was of those 1.26 million units, 600 and something thousand of them are already sold. They're not actually on the market. They just haven't closed yet. So in the reality, we have about 650,000 homes on the market that are available in the entire U.S. That's not very many homes.
No.
That's just not very many. So that is a, you know, that's something that you have to remember. There's not as many homes as they're showing. Now, the active existing homes listings in the U.S., we talked about that. It was 619,000 because 51% were under contract. I knew I had that number somewhere. Here it is. And so with that, there's really not that many homes on the market. Now, what about new home supply? Because I think this one is very interesting, and you've probably seen this, the new home supply. Housing starts completed. There's 1,370,000 housing starts completed for the year. That's what we're looking at. Destroyed annually. We lose 100,000 homes annually to being destroyed, taken, you know, demolished, burned, whatever it is. So the total new supply of homes is 1,270,000. Household formations, so these are new household formations, is 1,400,000. That means we have a deficit of new home construction of 130,000 homes.
But this is not new. This has been going on since 2008, where new homes have not been keeping up.
Exactly. It's why we have the situation that we're in. Mm-hmm. It's why we're seeing houses sell so quickly while they're going up, while they're appreciating so fast, because we have a lack. We didn't build enough, so we're short on inventory.
Yep.
I believe it's why, no matter what the media says, there's all these things add up to me that we are not in a bubble. We are not going to see a depreciation, which is what they're talking about. That for some reason, fear sells, does it not?
It every time.
What's the easiest thing in the world to sell, I think? Fear.
Fear.
I really do.
Newspapers, even before news was out, newspapers have been doing that long time ago.
Yes. Yeah, they figured out long before I did. That's all. And newspapers, the media, everything, that's what they want to talk about. It's always negative, negative, negative. So it's a very easy thing to sell. The reality is, if you look at all this stuff, it isn't as bad as what they're making it out to be, at least in the housing market. You know,
let's not talk about that because that is bad.
We're not talking about the rest of it. We're just talking about the housing market. Yes, interest rates are up. Yes, there's somewhat of a slowdown in the sales and more houses coming on the market. But the real estate agents I talk to, I mean, they're not seeing that, not in Indiana. In fact, in 3 weeks, we're going to have a real estate agent on who's going to talk about that, Jeremy Page with Carpenter Realtors. He's out of the Zionsville office, phenomenal guy, knows the market, been in it forever. He's one of the managers there, and he's going to talk to us about actually what is going on. So
he's going to educate us, too.
He is.
Okay.
You know, he's a boots on the ground. You and I do mortgages, right?
Yeah.
So we have an idea of the market. We have a pretty good idea. We talk to enough people. We have a pretty good idea. But we want to talk to somebody who actually is there doing that all day, every day. So after the break, since I used up all that time on the numbers because I love the numbers, after the break, we're going to talk about, you know, should you be looking for a house right now or should you be waiting?
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it. I'm Rick Rittma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
And I'm Ian Arnold with Advisors Mortgage Group.
And this is Indy's Real Estate Gurus, where we talk about everything related to real estate here in Indiana and nationwide. And again, we appreciate you joining us.
Yeah. So again, if you did miss our first 15 minutes, again, you can catch us on all of our podcasts, or we upload them on all of our podcasts, Indies Real Estate Gurus.
And that's on pretty much every podcast.
Yep.
We can get on.
Or you can look under Rick Ritma or Ian Arnold. Makes it quick and easy. So let's do the question of the week.
Okay.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
The question of the week is brought to you by Renovation Loans. It is actually what we do is we allow, if you find a home that needs a little bit of work, we allow you to get that work done and get your house at the same time, which is nice, easy, especially in this day and market. The prime houses that don't need work, guess what? They're off right away. Sometimes the ones that need a little bit of work, they sit around for a little bit longer, allows you to haggle a little bit more, and allows you to put a great offer in.
Yeah, and you can build some additional equity by what they call, you know, I'll call it sweat equity, but it's really not sweat equity because you can't do the work yourself under these programs. However, if you buy, you tend to be able to buy at a lower price, but it does allow you, if there's not carpet in a house, here's the things people don't understand. If there's not, I'm just using carpet as an example. If there's no flooring in the house and all it is the underlayment, or there's the sinks or toilets aren't in, the showers aren't in, they aren't working, somebody stole the HVAC or any of that, you can't finance it under normal financing. This is the only way that you can finance it under a mortgage is through this type of loan, a renovation loan.
Yep. All right. So the question last week was, what can you put in a bucket to make it weigh less? A hole.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So the question this week, a red house is on a white street. A blue house is on a red street. Where is the white house?
All right.
All right. So we're going through and should you buy now or buy later? So let's start with this. Rick, let's go through how would you even qualify for a home? So I have an idea. I know we went through this a couple times or whatnot. Let's do it a little different. I'm going to act like I'm going to call you up.
Okay.
And act like a customer. And basically, this is almost scripted. A customer we just had a couple days ago. So I'm just going to use his. Change name, change numbers, make it nice and easy. So ring, ring.
Thank you for calling. This is Rick Ritma, your hardworking mortgage guy.
Hey, this is my name is Kenny, and I heard your radio ad about trying to get a mortgage. I'm just trying to, my wife and I, we've been discussing it. What do I need to do?
Well, I'm glad you called. I appreciate it very much. And there's quite a few steps, but let's just kind of give the basic information. First, one of the first things you're going to want to do is we're going to want to get a full application so we can run credit and we can make sure that we have all the right information to be able to issue a pre-approval letter, which allows you then to go out and look at homes. It isn't mandatory, but what we found, especially in this market, but really in every market, if you don't have a pre-approval letter, the seller just doesn't take your offer seriously. So we want to get to that point. So the first thing we want to do is talk about your situation and how much, you know, all that type of information. So, you know, do you have a price range in mind?
We've looked at some houses online, and I mean, it's hard to tell because we're just looking at pictures and stuff, but I would say between 250, maybe 300 is okay. What we're looking at.
All right, perfect. And have you picked out an area?
Just like northern Indianapolis area, Carmel, Fishers, Noblesville, that type of area.
Okay. And how much are you looking to put down?
That's the other question. How much? I'm kind of curious how much we would need to put down. I mean, we have some saved up, but I'd rather not put it all towards the house. But I think there are different programs I've roughly heard. I just don't know how much to put down.
Okay. Well, it's going to depend on a couple different things and what's going to be best in your situation. So we're going to need to talk about that. So before we get into that, do you have an idea of what your credit score might look like?
Yeah, about 750.
Okay, so that's phenomenal. And so with that, and it sounds like you're looking in a neighborhood in a normal area, not out in the country.
No.
Okay, Okay. So what is probably going to be your best bet is going under a conventional mortgage. Now, have you bought a home before?
No, I have not.
Okay. So on a first-time home buyer, one of the programs that's available is called a first-time home buyer program, and it's 3% down under conventional financing. So with the 3% down, that allows you to, you know, so a $300,000 house, it's $9,000. Do you have...
We have roughly about 20 saved up.
Okay, perfect.
So, but... So if I were to, I don't want to use all of it because what if I want to do something to my house or something like
right.
that? But so what if I don't put, what if I only put down, let's say 15%?
Yeah. Well, what I would recommend is we run those numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you've got your down payment, but then you also have closing cost. You have what's called prepaid items. This is, you have prepaid interest from the day you close till the end of the month on a purchase. You have, you have to have homeowner's insurance. You have to have 12 months homeowner's insurance. And then you have to have 3 months that you pay into the mortgage on an escrow, okay, so that we can pay it when it comes due again next year. You have to have a certain amount in for the property taxes. Depending on what month you're going to close, depends on how much we need to collect for that. If you have less than 20% down, there's going to be mortgage insurance. We're going to have to collect some for that a couple months. And then there could be, you know, there's some other things that could come up. For instance, you could have, if you're in a neighborhood, it could have homeowners associations. There could be buy-ins to the homeowners association. There could be a proration with the seller to you. So there could be some other things. So what we'd want to do, if you have $20,000 and you want to hold some back, I think we should start and look at, you know, 3 or 5% down. And then, and depending on the price range you buy, we can look at the different numbers. It's not going to change your interest rate, okay? The interest rate pretty much is going to be the same until you get to 20% down. Then the interest rate might actually go up a little bit. So we're just going to look at that, and then we'll figure out what's going to, you know, we'll run through those numbers. We'll also look at FHA, because FHA may be the better option for you. I'm going to guess with your high credit scores, it's probably not, but FHA is really good with lower credit scores. It's also really good if we need debt to income ratio issues. If there's something there, then it's really helpful. But it requires 3.5% down.
So you're going to show me multiple options, is what you're saying? You're going to show me if I went conventional or if I went FHA?
Correct. I'm going to talk about it. We're going to get all that information once we have your application and all of that. Then we'll put together a report so that you can look at it and you can really make a decision based off of the options that are available to you. I just want to educate you and make sure you understand, answer all your questions, and then give you the information so you can make the right decision for you and your family.
That's awesome. So yeah. How long does an application take?
Well, an application, to actually take the application, is going to take somewhere around 30 minutes. Could take a little longer, could take a little less. We prefer to take the application manually, not online. We do have a very secure online application, which is also very simple. Some people prefer that because of timing, things like that. But we find that it's really better. Most people are much more comfortable having somebody take the application, making sure we're getting all the right information as quickly as possible. Saves you time and saves you a lot of, you know how it is. You're filling out a form you've never filled out before, and it asks a question you're looking at, and you go, I don't know what they want, right?
I see that quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it happens, right? So that's what you got to do.
All right, so that's good because I didn't know if I should wait till I had 20% down to buy a house anyways, because a lot of people say to have 20% down. So,
well, again, everything depends. Yeah. All right. But on the surface, home values went up by 19% last year in Indiana. They're up 17% currently, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're up that much, and let's say they just go up 10%, and you wait. If it's 2 years and it goes up 10% each year, it's up 20%. You're losing ground. I would say you're much better off, especially with high credit scores, but with anybody, you're better off going ahead and moving forward today if everything works out, if there's no issues, because you're buying it at probably the lowest price. I don't agree with the media. I think prices are going up, not going down. I think they're not going to continue at 20%. That's why we just said 10%. But I do believe they're going up. Interest rates, if you get a house, they go down, we just refinance it. And if the house goes up, if it increases it at, let's say you put 5% down, it increases at 10% a year. In a year and a half or 2 years, we refinance you out of it if rates went down, and you get out of your mortgage insurance and get a lower rate.
That's awesome. So this basically ends it, but this is the type of conversation that Rick and I have with customers all the time. I mean, it. I wouldn't say it goes verbatim like that, but it's pretty close to it, especially for new buyers. Sometimes people who bought houses before, you skip over some of the things that are easier and they already understand because they've been through the process.
Yeah, there's certain things we can't even talk about on the radio.
Correct.
Okay, you have to have all these disclaimers and everything else, yeah. So we just don't talk about it. So that's part of it.
But it doesn't take too long for... so basically, it takes like a 15-minute conversation, and that wasn't even that long. Then takes about maybe 15 to 30 minutes to have an application. And then you can literally have a pre-approval in your hand. That's how quick and easy it is.
Yeah, it's very quick. It's very easy. That's why I think it makes a big difference. I think us, you know, having the application taken by a person is so much easier and so much better. But there are people who it's not. Mm-hmm. Some people, like I said, there's nothing. Well, my problem is that I hate to talk in, okay, this is the way it is, because it changes.
It does.
It depends.
And it all depends on some people. So if you're busy at work all the time and you can't really take a phone call or something like that, well, guess what? Online might be quick and easy for you to do. I've had countless people do them online, but I've also had countless people call us and we do it over the phone, because sometimes it's just easy for me to say, hey, how much do you make? How much does your wife make? All right, what's this? What's that? It makes it nice and easy. And it's a little bit, let's be honest, it's a little bit more personable because I'm, it's a conversation we're having.
Right, right.
But look, everybody's schedule is different. So, hey, whatever works for you, we'll make it work for us.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's the best way, but you always have to do it, whatever's going to work for somebody. Sometimes people are really busy and they're only available late at night and on the weekend, and they're very computer literate and they much prefer it. Other times, you talk to somebody who they can barely turn on a computer, right?
That's
and if
true.
That's the case, then it's much easier for them, for sure, for us to do that. I know we're running out of time, so I think I forgot through the whole show, but if you would like to get a hold of us, if you have any mortgage questions, you want to talk to us, have any ideas of what you'd like to hear on the radio, go to hardworkingmortgageguys.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguys.com, and we'll be able to just put your information or give us a call, and we'll be able to answer your questions.
And next week, we'll be talking about how can you get a mortgage without a credit score? Also, how much can you afford for a home?
Great. I think they're great things to go over. Thanks again. Have a great weekend.